I don't need to catch them all. I just need you.
I already did.
That's adorable as fuck.
Pokemon confused. Inner Pokemon.
Oh, I was right.
Yeah?
I was right.
Fuck yourself.
It's his podcasticle.
His podcast.
That was terrible.
No, you know what else is terrible?
Doing the roll call.
Oh, you fucker.
We're live!
Zenkai Gun!
Broadcast. Loading. Connect.
Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Show Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster! Vegeta's Azeel!
Loyal and Loud! Pinkcaster! Lightred!
Explorer from the Unknown! Yellowcaster! Autogar!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Welcome to Squeaky Chair Sentai Cast Ranger.
Welcome to Squeaky Chair Plastic Wrapper.
Yup, oh, fuck it!
And Dave has now murdered you.
Hold on, I'm gonna make this complete.
That was my Proto Mighty Action X, by the way.
Oh. Soundcasters!
Professionals.
We're not paid enough to give a shit yet.
What?
I'm Nagy. I'm Best Ninja.
I'm on steroids.
Yeah.
Our butt ninja.
So are we on episode 130 now?
Yeah.
Amazing. We did it, guys.
We really been doing
130 was
long.
Your milestone.
Oh, he said. He said the joke.
You stole my guy. You stole my guy. My bit. Oh my god! You killed the original Raven. Good thing he was on loan by EC Studios.
But what is happening?
Give him back his deck of break ranger key. Oops, did I spoil something?
But no, today we're talking about Kamen Rider X8 episode 8, Zoolander episode 39, and since it's December 2, Electric Boogaloo, or December 2, Secret of the Ooze, as Northcaster likes to call it. We are here to talk about Deckranger, episode 21, 22, and 23,
yeah.
aka the introduction to Deck Break, in which I have his Ranger key.
I hear some noise on the track. What's that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You guys don't like Deckranger.
I
like parts of it.
It's not I don't hate it.
It's got the best ending theme
or,
of all time.
No, it's not that I hate it. It's just I personally think SPD's better.
Well,
it's not that I hate it. It's that I
don't like it
and want to die every time I watch it.
No.
I'm kidding.
All right, anyways, next day, let's go. Blech.
So, this week's episode is the first that we get to see movie clips in the opening.
Okay, I'm going to say this right now. This episode, like, made it, like, you know how episode 7 made that Kari is your favorite character?
Uh-huh.
Right now, mine's Taiga. Taiga is a badass motherfucker, such a douchebag, and just, he's willing to do anything to get what the fuck he wants, and I just
love that
about him.
Here's the thing. The show is really painting him as, like, the anti-hero, villainous, asshole type, that whole umbrella of archetypal character.
She sounds like someone else we know. Kaito!
Mr. Popo?
But, like,
I kind of think that this is leading into a bigger purpose. I think he's actually collecting the Gashits and insisting that he be the only Kamen Rider for a reason. Which relates to the fact that they revealed this week that candidates for the Kamen Rider system have to undergo some sort of compatibility surgery.
Like
Man.
The original Showa era
yeah.
Kamen
yeah.
Riders.
Man, that was a little bit of a plot bomb that dropped on us there.
I like it.
Also,
and the other half of it that we will mention later.
Also, my favorite line from this entire episode, period, is just Taiga just saying, this world only needs one Kamen Rider, and I'm just like, oh my god, you're so cool!
Just awkward pan to every other rider ever standing in that canyon.
Mm.
Yes! One! Forever!
God damn it. I need a snipe figure now.
That's it. There only need. What was the line?
The world only needs one Kamen Rider.
Oh fuck, What was the joke that I was going to go with now? Fuck!
Yeah, you ruined it.
Just Rider-Man comes from across the mountain. Hey, guys! I'm here!
So, I gotta say, I felt so bad for the Jet Calabos Buckster.
I know, right?
He tied his fucked with him so much.
He got help.
The gashin out of his head, took him hostage.
Tied him up,
shrunk him.
Stepped on his, like, empty suit.
Used him as cannon fodder.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ.
Turned him into a tiny vinyl figure.
Now in stores.
Pulled a Goku and Piccolo.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never watched the original Dragon Ball, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Z.
Dragon Ball Z. First three episodes.
Oh, right.
But this was the debut
Nelson!
but this was the debut of the Snipe Jet Combat Gamer.
Well, so the full name of the form is Kamen Rider Snipe Combat Shooting Gamer Level 3.
There you go. It packs a wallop. You know what?
Before we even talk about the form, we have to talk about the chime. And Gar, you get to discuss this one.
Alright, so when we were watching, like, it was Monday when we watched this episode together, right?
No, Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, okay, it was Sunday. We were all watching it together, in which it was like, he transforms into, like the level 3 robot thing goes over him, and we hear the level 3 chime.
Yeah, let me,
My head clicked in. I'm like, rewind that. And then, like,
Jet-o, in the sky. Jet-o, jet combat.
Okay, Lane, that was pretty close. But who is the voice of the gamer driver again?
Motherfucking Hironobu Kageyama.
Mm-hmm.
In which, this clicked into my head. Hopefully we don't get sued.
As long as it's less than 7 seconds.
He did the Jetman theme song, and this fucking gashat is a reference to it.
Yay!
Damn it, now I definitely need it.
Oh, I love the gashat. I love that it's like a bright orange color. I need it just for the chime. Snipe used his fucking mighty critical finish or strike or whatever, and just, or,
I mean, like, what did you
Jet critical.
Jet critical strike.
I'm sorry, I'm used to hearing mighty
critical
strike.
Just,
it reminded me of Zolda.
Yeah. Where he just unleashes a salvo of hellfire and missiles.
Doesn't even fucking care what he's firing. We get a cool, like, POV shot of, like, the miniguns, like, flying overhead, just going,
yeah, which is great because they explain that Jet Combat is a shoot 'em up game, which makes perfect sense.
It's a shoop.
To distinguish it from Bang Bang Shooting. It's not a shooting game, it's a vertical, like one of those vertically scrolling shmups.
Yeah,
so like
shmups.
Top Gun.
It's like Galaga.
Or like,
Top Gun was a first person jet game, so.
The one I always played as a kid was Raptor Call of the Shadows. I love that one.
No, I grew up with Galaga, man.
The one that I always played was, well, none of them, because my parents wouldn't let me have first person shooters.
It's not a first-person shooter.
You want to know something funny? The first time I ever played Galaga was when I played Tekken 3, because literally, when you open up Tekken 3, it shows the Namco logo, and then you can play Galaga before you start up the game.
So you played Galaga on the Tekken 3 loading screen?
Yes!
Okay.
It's fucking great, because it's Namco! They can do whatever the fuck they want!
Yeah.
You go first.
I like how Taiga essentially is like, I'm going to take your gashets, and we're going to duel tomorrow at high noon.
It's time.
Congratulations to Overwatch for unsurprisingly winning Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, congratulations to Boogie2988 for winning Best Trending Gamer of the Year.
Also, Duke Nukem's going to be in the Bulletstorm remaster, and I'm fucking excited. Yeah.
Also, Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Any gaming news happen to you?
No.
He's playing Pokemon.
He got 50% of Zygarde.
Woo! And honestly, though, another, like, fucking amazing part of this episode was just Kiria and Dan.
I love that.
Wow.
They're actually, I love how this show is, like, taking its own plot and events seriously. Like, Dan screwed Kiria with the other guys, and Kiria immediately, an episode later, confronts him about that, and they have a fucking showdown.
No, and he calls him on the phone.
Yeah, it's like, ring, ring, ring. Hello? Hey. Sup, motherfucker? Let's have a rematch because I know it's you!
That was a dick move you pulled!
Hug, hug, kiss, kiss!
Who's your little Kagemusha?
Who's your little
bitch? Did you notice that he actually used the word Kagemusha?
Yeah.
Your little shadow guardian.
Who's your little bitch?
Oh, man. That little plot bomb he dropped on us in that scene, though.
Mm-hmm. And Hero continues to be shit. I
want to say something about that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it the scene with Hero and his dad?
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up.
So many problems here.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. First and foremost, though, that little plot bomb they dropped on us during that scene between Dan and...
Kiria.
The fact that Emu never took that surgery.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting?
What if he's infected with the Bugster virus?
Yeah, isn't it
possible?
It's like, isn't it interesting there's one rider who has not had the surgery, unlike the rest of us? Wait, shit, Emu? Really? Yeah, that makes sense.
My theory is this has something to do with his M persona.
Also, I'm calling it right now that surgery that saved him as a kid was probably that surgery. Yes,
absolutely.
But probably like a precursor to it.
I bet you like that whatever he underwent as a child caused both his compatibility and the persona.
And then there's my thing where it's like, oh, what if he's like a Bugster on the inside? Like, spoilers and Fize, where like, you know, Takumi just shows up on his bike and just instantly transforms into an Orphanok, and everyone's like, he was an Orphanok this whole time?
Yeah.
That explains everything.
Well, that explains why he's compatible with the belt and we aren't.
If you didn't like that spoiler, sucks to be you. The show is 13 years old.
Now you can go watch Decade.
No.
Yes.
Still go watch Fize. Fize is a decent show.
Yeah,
actually,
it is.
I did.
Fize is a good
show. Fize has its problems, but I'd rewatch it.
Yes.
Exactly. Anyways.
Yes.
That scene between Hero and his dad.
Oh, can I at least bring up one thing, though?
Sure.
All right. In that scene, Hiro's dad, Kagami?
I forget his first name, but it's Kagami something.
Oh, Kagami.
Dr. Kagami.
Yeah. Well, basically, his dad's like, oh, you shouldn't confront Taiga. And I'm not just saying that as your director, I'm saying that as your dad. Revenge is not the best way to go. Besides, I need you for the future when you become the director of the hospital. Okay, so Hiro's fate's already, you know, destined?
Well, I'm sure that's what he'd like, but...
No, but, yeah, so with that scene, his father had a rare, properly serious moment without Poppy showing up in the middle of it to fucking ruin it.
Yeah.
Yep. Every time he tries to be serious, Poppy shows up and just proves how fucking whipped he is.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a proper... serious moment for the first time, and the actor who did that played that really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just straight up, really good, heart to heart, father to son talk, and Hero just walked the fuck out on it.
Fuck you, Hero.
Right?
I it was on the fence for the longest time. Fuck you, though.
No, Hero's it's piece of shit.
It's for once, I had a little bit of respect for his dad in this show. And I was like, you know what? This is a really good talk you're having with him. This is a talk that needs to happen. He needs to listen to it. And he just walked out like a petulant little child. Okay.
I'm going to eat the rest of your character. Dessert.
Yeah, because he doesn't care.
Fuck
he doesn't care what he fucking wants.
Can we give his father, Comrade of Brave Belt, and
right?
Please? I would love that.
No, give it to Poppy.
No,
she needs Doremi Poppy version, right? No,
what if Poppy can't use the gamer driver?
Well, she can't. She's an NPC.
She's not human, so who the fuck knows what rules apply to her?
NPC.
Holy shit! It just occurred to me.
What?
Poppy's a like basic.
She's an AI navigator program, according to what we're told.
She's a Bugster.
NPC,
maybe. All right,
so she's an AI that helps out the other riders somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
She's the fucking AI in the Transformers Robots in Disguise series back in 2001. What? Shelly.
Oh, sure.
Shelly.
I actually saw someone on the Rider Facebook groups propose an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
Poppy helps the Riders. Pallad is helping the Bugsters. Related?
Sampling oh my suffering god! At birth?
You decide!
That'd be amazing. I would love that.
But everyone knows.
Because Pallad seems to be treating the Earth like it's something he's not familiar with, like a playground. So maybe not human?
Maybe he's
somehow related to everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that scene just kind of cemented me not liking Hero as a character in this show at all.
No, and like I said, he got his fucking ass kicked. Like, every episode, right? He gets his fucking ass kicked.
And we still have no, like, level-up sequence for either Brave or Laser level 3.
In the 8 episodes we've had of this show, he's only done super well in his debut episode in episode 2 and when he got Dormy for B. That is it.
And that wasn't even a kill. All he did was manage to piss off Graphite.
Yeah, and the only reason he was able to do what he did was because Emu was, like, coaching him through it.
There was... Yeah, Hero and Emu do meet up with Taiga, though. And where we see Taiga, you know, on the... Like, on a little tiny hill, right?
Yeah, on a big rock.
Like a big rock. Kind of like, you know, the true villain of the planet. Ancient Egypt!
Yes, yes. Oh, God. You just want to make that joke a lot.
I don't get it.
Turn it off!
Sorry.
Stop that, motherfucker.
Right, motherfucker.
That went way the fuck over my head.
Right?
Sorry.
Anyways.
So Snipe level 3 fucks the shit out of Exit and Brave and steals both of the level 3 gashes.
I watched his critical strike and I'm just sitting there like, huh, miniguns and missiles. I almost feel like he should be singing right now.
Glorious. I don't give you glory.
Symphogear.
Oh. Yes. Thank you.
There you go.
Ichi, make an Azure short of that. No, but just like, Taiga's so cool. I love him so much.
I still don't like him all that much. As much as I want to like him as the walking blackjack reference that he is, but I really don't.
Actually, when he says, like, there's only one Kamen Rider allowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can that be dubbed over with Scar from The Lion King shouting out, "Long live the king"? And then he just goes all out on Emu.
You just see, like, Emu. Ah!
So, with regards to Snipe level 3, there's not really much we can say about the design that we haven't talked about already, because we've seen plenty of shots of him.
It's got wings!
The wings are nice, the miniguns are cool. As I mentioned, I really don't think the white and orange looks good against the navy and green.
I'm totally fine.
The bang.
I like that his emo hair flips up, and we confirmed it's not a flip, it rotates.
Yeah, and he has, like the breather that, pilots wear.
Oxygen mask.
Yeah, so that, and which looks really fucking cool on him, especially with his eyes.
Just the best thing about that form is the fact that the shot, when he first transforms into it, is the robot taking a bite out of his ass.
Yeah.
And out of all the support robots, that one looks like it has teeth the most.
So it's just,
I'd love to see Jet Combat just battle with Kiken.
Maybe
fucking mock.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Taiga's pissed off when he's using it. It's biting on his ass too hard.
So, meanwhile, Laser and Genmu finish their fight, and they both launch their critical strikes at each other, but neither of them seem particularly damaged. I love that Genmu channels his level 3 strike through the bug visor chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, like, clash through each other, and they both just appear unharmed.
That was cool, though. Like, I liked how they just both, like, activated their gashits. They, like, both henshi at the same time, both went to level 3s, and then they just, like, ran to run at each other to, like, clash, and then it just cuts to, like, the other fight.
Yeah. That was good editing, where it was basically, like, it was a pan in
shot. It was going back and forth between them.
Well, no, it was a pan in shot into where Dan and Kiryu were fighting, and then it zoomed out when it cut to Brave Emu and Taga's fight.
Yeah.
Also, there was that subplot something about the Q Rangers. I don't know.
They were trying to save the guy who was infected, like the factory.
Fuck! I forgot about that subplot.
And then, like, when they visited the factory to try and cheer him up, the three workers come out wearing red, blue, and black shirts, respectively. So we're just like, Q Rangers.
No, but, like...
And Cammy confirmed that because one of them is a Black Ranger.
No, and then they realize, like, oh, it's not, you're not getting stressed because, like, your factory's messed up. You're stressed because you're worried about your workers. And then they're like, his workers are like, don't worry about us, boss. We're going to still work hard and do everything we can to, like, make sure, like, your business is still up and running. And then he's just like, I'm okay now.
And then, yeah, I love it. Like, at that time, Taiga finishes off the Bugster through... because that's how he runs, just to get the gadgets. Like, he kills the Bugster, and then the old man just gets up out of the wheelchair. Shut up!
And I can walk!
I can walk again!
To be honest, I never saw him standing.
Were you not able to walk because of the game disease? I don't think that's a thing that does.
What is this, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, where his grandpa gets out of the bed, and then he can instantly walk again? So, why did he share a bed and stay in bed all day?
I don't know.
Because they're lazy fucks. It was the 70s.
So pretty much the last thing worth mentioning from this episode is the fact that Graphite stole the prototype of Dragonite Hunter Z, which is apparently Dragonite Hunter.
There is one thing that they did mention, though. Since Dan is using a prototype Gashat...
Oh, yeah.
It basically...
It's harming him.
It is harming him. And where with me, I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then other side of me is like, son of a... bitch, that's what I was going to use for Anime Ranger with the Six Ranger.
Actually, just to quickly, it's a prototype, so it just said Dragonite Hunter, but yeah. The actual Dragonite Hunter Zed, the actual toy, it says Zed, though.
Really? Yeah, the actual Dragonite Hunter Zed gadget says Zed on it, but what I was going to mention about the actual prototype version of Dragonite Hunter... It says Dragonite Hunter without the Zed,
yeah.
But the image on the Gashet still has the Zed on it.
Guys, What is the name of the Gashet?
Dragonite Hunter Zed.
Who voices the Gamma Driver?
Kageyama.
Put two and two together. Come on.
The name is a Dragon Ball joke.
Wrong person from Jam Project, but...
Close enough.
Close.
Still Jam Project.
Chala!
I mean, well, that guy, yeah, but...
But no, it was super funny to see, like, Graphite, like... Oh, yeah, this is what I forgot to bring up. So, apparently, the Proto My X is, like, ruining this Dan's body, and I'm like...
Yeah, the idea with the Proto Gashets is that they're way stronger, but they tax the body more.
So, I'm like, but you designed these things! Can't you just make something that won't fucking kill you from the inside?
My theory is he wants the extra power.
He designed this shit! Just make something that's stronger!
No, I know, right?
Wayne. In Taiga's flashback, we see Taiga flipping out because he even mentions this, where it's like, oh, you guys are getting rid of me because the Bugsters aren't that big of a threat.
Mm. Yeah.
So basically, the pro...
Also because you killed someone.
That too. But basically...
Not purposefully.
Indirectly.
In...
Through failure to do your job.
Accidentally. No, but basically, yeah, maybe the Bugsters were just weaker back then, so...
Maybe.
That's why they jacked up the power on the Proto-Gashats. Because they didn't know how strong these Bugsters could get.
I don't think that's the case. I think the case is the Proto-Gashats, obviously designed first, were designed for max power output, but they didn't know about the safety concerns. And then when they designed the actual Gashats... They're like, let's turn these down a little bit so they don't kill people.
Yeah. But yeah, episode 9?
8.
Episode 8 of X8.
This is great.
Okay, when's the story going to kick in?
Next week, we apparently get a shot of X8 dual-wielding swords, and Dragonite Hunter Z debuts.
Yeah, he literally fucking swipes Brave's sword from him and just, like, is wielding it.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm really noticing so far. All these episodes... They kind of continue the story forward.
Yeah.
But
we're getting elements of the plot as we go.
Yeah, but we're getting a lot more about their backstory first, which I'm glad.
Yeah.
Let's get all the backstory out of the way, and then we can continue with the plot.
Like it was in Gaim. The first 10 episodes were like, here's characters, here's, like, the riders, we have all our riders, and then episode 11 was the Loxie hunting game. And that's where fucking kicked in.
Well, no, more or less after Christmas, that's when the plot kicked in.
Yeah. Anyways.
Alright.
Now let's get to the disappointment of the week.
Soldier 39. Yeah, this was...
Okay. I liked seeing Akira Date again.
Being, yeah. Not,
being okay. This is what bothered me.
No.
Being a pickup artist.
Yeah. Con artist, yeah.
Con man.
No, but he Same manifested thing. It from, like, a random chick. Some, like.
Which means that she was someone else he conned.
Yeah.
Yeah. She. He drew her. He drew the guy from her memories.
Yeah, basically.
Which means she's been conned by this guy before, and he just thought it was an interesting. Oh, by the way, he is frigging Bung Hole's arm now.
Oh, yeah, he's had that
yeah,
for a
he's
while.
Had that
he
for a
picked
while.
It up. He replaced his own arm
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, we mentioned
that.
It. Like,
but it was fun to see him like experimenting with it to see what he could and couldn't do.
Okay, can't do myself.
Can't spawn creations from creations, because that would be Daisy Channing.
So basically, he does have limitations.
Yeah.
So what would he do? Would he, like, recreate Bungray?
I don't know.
No! That's a stupid idea.
Let's not do that
to
ever,
take,
please.
To take his other hand, so that he has cool
wasn't,
power?
I think that would work.
Wasn't that bad. He was a fun villain.
So the monster of the week is one of Kubar's, Chef Udon. And it's going to make everyone fat with evil pasta tentacles of 1,000 calories!
You know what's funny? I actually liked this player. I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
I liked every time he, like, showed up, he was just like, I'm open!
Then whenever he vanished, he was, like, pulling down the shutters.
This episode was kind of weak.
Oh, you know why? Because it was a fucking Sarah-focused episode. I don't like Sarah that much.
Oh, no, not even that. Just even the Monster of the Week felt, like, off. It felt like it was more of a distraction.
It absolutely was a distraction. That was the point.
I'm a distraction.
Which is ironic, because the other part of the plan was an actual distraction.
Oh, yeah, basically, Kubar's plan was to try and get, you know, the Rangers...
Separated.
Well, not separated, more or less.
Distracted.
Disconnected from each other.
Yeah. So, for what is he planning to do? Get Sarah to fall in love with imaginary Kamen Rider Birth.
Not Kamen Rider Birth. No, alternate timeline Kamen Rider Birth.
It's funny that they chose the guy who played Akira Date, because they went on a date.
No, you know what? I realized why I didn't recognize him at first in the preview.
Because it's
week.
Been 5 years?
No,
and
no.
He shaved.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. He didn't have his facial hair.
Me too. I looked at him, like, I realized last week in the preview that it was him, and I was like, oh, hey, cool. And then the minute he showed up on screen this week, I was like, is that him?
Wait a minute.
No, it's him. He just shaved.
Wait a minute. Which birth are we talking about?
The first one.
Proto, who became
the guy
with
the milk can of cell metals.
Not Goto.
No, not Goto. Date. Not Proto-chan.
Yeah, the one who was like, time to work.
I honestly thought it was Goto-san.
No.
You, sir, are a special.
You know, this fucker.
I honestly thought like
that. How could you mistake him, you fucking racist?
No, that's not him. That was him.
You mentioned birth, so I went, oh, okay, him.
Proto-birth.
Oh.
There we go.
Birth Ichigo.
Date Akira. Right.
Oh, Shiner.
Yeah, Shiner! My favorite fucking Millie from Gabon.
So, Mario came out in his cow outfit and
Cowerpie.
Served them milk from his teeth.
And then Miso drank it, and he's like,
and I almost vomited?
No, and he's like, wow, this is good milk!
No, I can see Ichi watching this at work. That scene happens, just, you see your boss just in the other room, hear a noise.
I was literally in the middle of taking a drink from my water. I see that, and I'm just like,
wasn't that the name of the episode? It was like something nipples or udders?
What?
Squirt and udders? That's what we like said the title of the
no,
this episode was gonna be.
No,
I don't remember.
No, this we already know the.
I'm sorry.
The title
I know. I
know.
The irony is, I know. I said I would remember what it was, but I don't. So
you
I'm sorry.
Liar.
We know what the thumbnail is. That's for sure.
Oh, God.
But basically, they go on a date, like, Sarah and not Goto.
His name's Ray, but yeah.
Yeah, his name's Ray.
I love how, like, when she first starts falling in love with him, you see, like, these, like, fancy effects, and it starts, like, I'm just going, Dreamweaver!
Yeah.
And then she actually, like, swipes the effects away off the screen.
Yeah,
What is this Car Ranger Gokaiger cameo shit? Because when the Red Racer showed up in Gokaiger, when it showed the silhouette of the Ranger, he noticed it. It's like, the fuck? Just smacked him.
What's funny is I could tell throughout this entire episode, Leo was a bit jealous.
Oh, absolutely, because he's trying to ask her out.
No, like, he even mentioned, it's like, why is she going on a date with him? I've asked her out many times. Yeah, but Leo, you ask every girl
out. You an asshole.
Fuck you! Leo's awesome.
Yeah, but Leo asks out...
He carries the team!
You know what the best part is?
Who does carry the team? Yamato. Think of it. Without him, they wouldn't have Cube Whale, and without Cube Whale, they wouldn't have defeated Bongray.
Without him, they wouldn't have anything.
That is true.
Without him, they'd still be in Zooland guarding the Cube.
Yes.
Honestly, none of this wouldn't have happened if Yamato dropped his cube in the forest.
Anyways.
Herpeter.
I finally said Herpeter. The fucking patrol when they're stalking Sela is amazing, especially Misao with his anti-romance headband.
Yeah!
I am sitting there the entire time just thinking to myself, God damn it. She has super hearing! How has she not caught you the second you opened your mouth?
That should have been the joke.
Right? I knew you were there the whole goddamn time.
They didn't use that joke until the end of the episode where they're standing fucking 3 feet away talking about her and she's like, oh, I can hear you.
No.
And why didn't you hear them from far away because you were super hearing?
So, Misao, I can expect this from. Leo, I can expect this from. Tusken Yamato... For shame. No,
they just went along with it.
Why do you care? Why do you fucking care?
I think
because Amu was there, and, hey, you guys come with us. It'll be fun. Come on.
For the whole family.
I've got the correct answer. Because he was a pickup artist, and they were worried for her safety.
Yep.
Thought she would get raped with human babies. Of course. Wait a minute. What would happen then?
Would that be Aquaman?
Aquaman?
You never know.
Let's not, please. I don't want to think about that.
Aquaman.
So during the date,
I was gonna mention something like a different thing, actually. There is a reason why Misao does have the no love headband.
Because he likes her.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a
that was obvious.
Also, this really reminded me. Of, like, in Magi Ranger, when Magi Blue and Magi Shine went out on the date, and they all followed them around.
Yep.
The only sad part is that those two actually got married, and these two...
How's that sad?
Moving on.
So
I'll explain later.
My favorite part of the whole scene where they're on a date is, like, they're on the carousel, and they, like, go by, and you can clearly see the other Zuo just standing there at the rail within eyesight. And, like, even though they've got their backs turned, Leo's dreadlocks are in clear sight, and somehow they didn't fucking see them.
Because she's too busy looking at him, which is in the completely other direction.
Yeah,
she's...
Also, the ending theme song instrumental was playing in the background.
Yeah.
Also, they did the generic, we're gonna hide behind this wall, but we're all gonna stick our heads out on top of each other, even though how the fuck does that work?
I just want to see a shot from the other camera.
They had fucking wire work going on behind the wall.
No. All right, everyone lay on these benches.
Maybe.
Right.
Oh my god! When the monster showed up and started using its different like food attacks, the most disgusting thing ever: mayo shower.
Yeah.
Oh god!
No, and what's funny is it was like CGI mayo.
Hey Gar, that's Bukkake.
Yes.
It's jizz! Next question!
Oh.
I'm so glad that segued well.
Yep. Nah, but every time I heard his name, every time I heard that monster's name, it's like Chef Fudon. It's good food with attitude.
I know, right?
Every time!
Fighting Foodons!
Yeah!
Fighting Foodons!
Fighting Foodons!
Let's never discuss that again.
Already made the damn joke.
Yeah.
Shush.
Let's never discuss that again.
So.
You'll never escape
the
Ray.
So, the clone of Ray takes a hit for Sela when they fight the monster, and she's like, ah, it's so she gets energized and they beat the monster.
I guess I maybe kind of liked you.
Also, he blasted off like Team Rocket.
Yeah.
And then just his face.
Because that
in the
was
sky.
A, because that was a clone, and when the clones get hit enough, they vanish. So that was him dying.
Well, no, no, he showed up again.
Yeah.
Unharmed.
Somehow.
Somehow.
He's
and
a clone.
Also thin again.
Yeah.
I guess that's because they killed the monster.
Yeah, because they killed the monster.
Well, he's just well, like he's talking like he's fat.
Oh my god, that was jarring.
No, speaking of which, at the beginning of the episode, like some of the other people became fat, which is just.
Yeah.
Rubber suit underneath clothing.
They just like Willy Wonka'd.
Someone mentions it's hard to breathe. Do people suffocate to death?
Several times.
Yeah. The first time like you see like a bunch of like people get like hit by the attack and they like grow fat or whatever like that. Literally after the battle where like the chef monster fucks off, the zoo just completely ignored them. We don't see those people again.
Yep.
And actually I can't
breathe. Okay, we're gonna leave you here.
Alright, see you later.
Hey, where's that bowling ball monster?
Listen, wait, you fat fucks.
More instances of the Suojers gravely ignoring the plight of the humans.
How many humans have died so far?
Oh, there's a huge death count in this show.
We need, like, one of those, like, death count videos like they do for movies.
Or, like, Krillin Unk.
You know the deaths I'll never forget? Those ones on that poor ship ride from the first episode of Ghost. Remember when they were just thrown into a building?
Yeah.
Never again. Shall we see those? God. Ghost, you suck.
No, they should have used that as, like, one of the major plot points. Like, the monster turning people into, like, really fat things. In which, you know, like, it showed up in, like, a love story where it's like, oh, you shouldn't really care about your beauty. You should really care about, like, how
people I feel
really
like
are.
I feel like that could have been used as, like, a message.
Yeah.
But no. Destroy
no
the
body shaming.
Destroy the monster. Don't be fat.
Yeah.
So next week, I'm really looking forward to this episode because A, it's another Leo focused episode, which I always love those. But
the monster has a goddamn pompadour.
Yeah, the monster is literally based off one of my favorite Japanese stereotype. Just
the punk kid.
The
Kinkaboncho.
Yes, like that's why I love Gintaro so much from Forza, because he was just one of those school delinquents. And
one other thing I noticed at the end of the episode, Cella still has the necklace that Rey gave him. So let's keep our eyes out next week and see if she still
has
it.
No,
this is the question.
Continuity.
He was made from memory.
The necklace wasn't. He bought it from the store.
But he was made for memory. He's still alive, but he won't remember her.
Yeah.
So if they ever...
He vanished at the end of the
episode. No.
The actual person.
Actual Rey.
So if Sarah ever met him again...
Oh, she'd think it was the clone.
Yeah.
And she didn't even know he was a clone.
No, he said it straight up to her. He's
no,
like,
all she said was, a monster ordered me to do this stuff.
And I'm a con man. He didn't say he was pulled out of memory. They don't even know that they can still do that.
They don't know that Kubar can do that.
Also, I think Genis knows.
This is so fucked up.
I think Genis knows.
Oh, Genis has known.
Oh, he fucking knows. He knows
everything.
Oh,
also, there was a shot in the preview of Kubar versus Narya.
Yeah, shit's finally going down on that.
I think she dies.
Yeah, episode 40. Episodes left.
But Ichi, if she dies, then who's going to finger the slot?
Actually...
Genis.
Just the Zal, like, walks, like, teleports down. He's, like, holding the metal with the coin with the two. This is River Master Genis.
Actually, there's
jams
one
it
thing
his
that...
Fist.
I
fist the slot.
If
fist
we could go into...
That's the name of the episode! Fist the slot! Damn it. Barry, show us a cock-loving slut.
No, don't! This is YouTube!
What was I gonna... Wait, no. Chances... Okay, we got... Let's see here. 4 episodes left until next year.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Something like that.
Let's see. We got the...
Well, no, because remember, Ninja or Zojo's debuted in February, middle of February. So, it'll be February again. Q-Ranger.
I said 4 episodes left of this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Which means we still have, like, 6 more episodes next year.
We're in the final
we're in the
10 episodes.
We are in the 10-episode stretch.
Please be better than a ninja.
Please be better than a ninja.
Maybe better than ninja.
I don't think that's horribly difficult.
No, we have seen the magazine scans. We know what's coming. Please, for the love of Daisuzen.
All I'm going to say is Shin Genis disappoints me.
What? Why?
We'll talk about that later.
I beg to differ, sir.
Well, since it's December and, you know, all you guys left out on me and didn't hear us, or didn't hear me, no, handsome.
I know, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over the loud slamming of my door.
Right? I couldn't hear you past the first sentence as we all screamed and said no.
I told you, Gar, we talked about this, but nope, you just had to fucking make it happen.
Except not really, because we said it at the start of this week's episode.
We did.
Shh.
Guess what?
Part one of Decacember 2.
Decacember.
Secret. Judgment time.
You're watching time. Decacember. Fuck, I love that ending.
Alright, cue the Decaranger bit from last year.
Alright.
Take us in, guard.
So, day one, or week one of three, since there's only going to be three episodes of Cast Ranger this month.
Yup.
So for week one, we are going to be talking about Decaranger episode 21, 22, and 23, which is, again, the debut of Tetsu, the special Tokyukyu, or the Tokyukyu.
I wrote this out. Okay, so like they pronounce it Tokyo to be cute because it sounds like he's from Tokyo, but it's actually a branch, the elite branch of SPD, whatever. Yeah. But the full name of this branch is Tokyo's Tokukyo's Tokukyokak, which is basically their version of the A Team.
Yeah, and what?
Meant the A Team from SPD.
Oh, so A Squad.
A Squad, sorry.
But in which that's where Tetsu's from, in which you can't tell by I'm holding the Deca Break Ranger key.
So he's not from Earth.
No, he didn't grow up on Earth.
Alright, so episode 21 is basically setting up the monsters that they've got to fight, which is the three Hell siblings.
Yeah.
Which, actually, I liked them. Especially, we had Succubus, who was the sister of the three. My favorite, the younger sibling, Bon Goblin, who was my favorite, because I don't know why. I always had a thing for goblins. I just like how creepy and weird they are.
Are you a goblin?
Well, in World of Warcraft, I played a goblin.
He's a goblin!
Goblin!
His name was Goblar. He was awesome.
I remember Goblar.
Yeah, Goblar. And I'm...
That seems very...
Goblar!
That seems very offensive for me, since it's very...
I'm half goblin?
No, it sounds very close to my name. Garblar.
Lobgar.
Garblar? Yeah. Gerbler.
Stacy.
So, Succubus's plan is basically to recruit Jasmine, because I think she's a space lesbian.
Well, no, it's just...
A lot of really weird gestures towards her.
She's also the Japanese equivalent to Moira or Mora, whatever the fuck her name was.
Her child name was Moira, her adult form was Morgana.
Yeah. Morgana, that's right.
It took me a while to recognize that suit. Yeah.
But remember, Jasmine's an Esper. She has abilities that no other humans really have.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she uses it to see the horror and chaos that they've caused on 79 other planets.
Jesus Christ.
And the worst part is Succubus has this really weird CGI giant tongue thing that looks like it's made of liquid chocolate.
It's Rochibar!
How does Jasmine sleep at night?
Poorly.
Poor girl.
What do you mean?
Having to live with those visions in her head.
Yeah, those visions of, like, fucking planets.
I swear to God, like, you see those shots of, like, Succubus, like, burning planets, and I just went, Succubus!
No, it just touches the person to see Donald Trump.
Yes!
No. Beep, beep, beep. I will build a wall. How can you live with yourself?
The funny thing about Bond Goblin is he apparently had a video messaging app installed in his fucking belt.
The Kamen Riders of the future.
Yeah. I'm sorry, just quickly off topic for a sec. Just some guys like the real deal, the true 41st Super Sentai reveal, just the Zodiac hurts.
From Forza.
That's great. Oh, Forza.
Forza Q Ranger crossover. Make it happen.
There we go.
So basically, the monsters come here to A, take over the planet.
Of course!
And B, summon their brother to help them do so.
Well, now, here's the thing. Basically, with Deckeranger, there is no evil organization.
They're just random space aliens.
Yeah, they're just alienizers, which is basically just...
Which sounds like the name of a weapon, not a species.
This is an alienizer.
This thing will make you an alien.
Gimme.
Then again, we did have, like, you know why I thought it sounds like a weapon?
What?
Super Silverizer. From space.
Oh, yeah. But no, basically, so there is no evil organization. All we have is Vegeta over here. Agent Ibarras.
I mean, yeah.
Broodwing, played by the voice actor for Frieza.
Yeah, who also did Knuckles.
Which makes me wonder why you said Vegeta.
Yeah, that's
oh,
what
sorry.
I...
Oh, sorry.
That's why I'm sorry. Sitting here confused, like, when the fuck was he in this episode?
Sorry, I meant to say Frieza. I have Vegeta on the mind because I've been watching DBZ, in which Vegeta just came back. Yay.
Yay.
So, they summon... So, the villain, the evil alien, summon their mech, which I swear to God has the stupidest name for a fucking robot of all time.
God Pounder.
The God Pounder.
Yo! May want to rethink that
God
name
the,
there.
God the Pounder.
He's going to pound you with
God Panda!
Which he did, because it fucking jumped up on top of Deckeranger Robo and literally just brutalized it.
It reminded me a lot of Gurren Lagann.
It reminded me of Kuga fucking up that one Grand.
No, yeah, God Panda, like, literally, like, steps on the head of Deckeranger Robo and so hard that apparently makes them unmorph inside the Megazord. And I was like, wow.
And where they actually have to surrender.
It looks like a giant mechanized version of Endorf from
But yeah, this episode, like, honestly, just established, like, the villains of, like, this
three-episode
arc. But I'm just, like, the entire time just watching this, I'm like, wow, Gar, so much Deca break. I love how much Deca breaks in this episode.
I like to refer to this episode as that time they got Deca wrecked.
Deca rickety rex. Episode 22, which
Blitz Hells arrives.
Yeah, in which he fights Deca Master, which is, you know, it's the joke. The Hell siblings are like the eldest Hell sibling is fighting the guard dog of Hell.
Yeah.
So, which one thing that was cool though about the introduction episode 22 is with Deca Master and Blitz Hell's sword fight. When Blitz Hell like slices his sword, it cuts straight into the opening sequence.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, they get their asses handed to them, and then
apparently Blitz knows alchemy.
Oh yeah, you know, maybe that's why their brother looks like that. He lost his arms because they tried to bring back someone.
You know what else he looks like? A goddamn predator.
Oh yeah, with the dreadlocks.
He did kind of look like a predator.
And it was only then that I saw him on Blitz that I realized that the goblin guy has them too, but like way messier.
He's a goblin!
And I'm like, oh, I guess they are brothers.
Oh, that's racist. That's alien racist.
Oh, well, he kind of looked to me like Diabolico's like alien cousin or something.
Diabolico.
I love Diabolico.
So, this episode, we also meet Horace Seijin Numa O, the chief of SPD.
Birdman! Basically...
You all suck! I'm bringing in the big gun!
We'll find out next... Like, he has a bigger role next week in one of the other episodes.
Okay. Next week? In the actual episode we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
In which episode 38 he has a bigger role.
Yeah.
Spoilers! We are talking about episode 38 next week.
So, everyone gets sent out to fight them again. They even bust out the Murphy cannon. I don't know what it's actually called.
Murphy.
I know it's named Murphy, but is there a name for that mode?
Murphy Bazooka?
Sure.
I think.
So they pull that out, and even that is not enough because the goblin knocks away the cannon while they're about to fire because he gets distracted with a phone call from Deca Break saying, fuck off, I'll be there shortly, don't do anything.
Fuck off, I'll be there shortly.
Which turned out to be horribly correct because shooting that was a horrible idea.
Yeah, they shot the goblin in the mouth.
One goblin.
And apparently that was the wrong move because...
It makes him grow.
This is the weirdest fucking power-up method I've ever seen.
when he ate the blast.
Not even that. He was his words were, "When I get something stuck in my throat, I grow giant."
Ew.
Grody.
Oh yeah.
You're fucking sick, bro.
So, hope this guy gets bad blowjobs.
Great, Ichi. I'm gonna be sleeping at like 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. And all I'm gonna be thinking is that fake trying to get into my pants.
Blowjob.
Especially with those teeth.
He's gobbling that penis.
Oh!
Damn it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Good night, everybody.
Can't possibly do any better than this. I think we're good.
So.
Happy New Year!
They throw a dick and face robo at it, and it's, of course it's not good enough, but like we haven't watched all the Dick Rangers, so we don't know if this is a thing all the time, but when Dick and face robo appears and like finishes transforming, it like chimes off the sentence, "Here's your next challenge, blast off!"
Yeah! I heard that, I was like, wow! It's like a fighting game announcer.
In which we made the joke about how, like, when the Decabase is actually going upwards into the air.
Fuck everyone who's in this building.
Yeah, fuck everyone who's probably, you know, having a shit or walking through the hallways with a bunch of china.
Just the base, like, flips up. Someone in the bathroom just... Oh, no! It's in my raccoon wounds!
No, just the guy. Oh, boy, I can't wait to give, you know, everyone their food. All this hot and spicy food.
Ah, it's in my eyes!
Some guy's just like drinking a cup of coffee.
Aren't you glad that the only fucking people who ever show up in that base are just like Swan, Doggy, and the Rangers?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. I don't fully believe there are any other staff in that
and
base.
And then the biggest joke, some guy's like, you know, tied up against Sue's wall. Like, buildings going up. He gets untaped, lands in his bed, and just goes back to sleep.
Nailed it.
It's like, nailed it.
So, we get introduced to Deca Brakes Robo, the Deca Bike.
Deca Bike Robo. Remember when Megazords were just like, name Robo?
I don't like it.
I love it.
I did like the fact that Deca Bike Robo has fists on his chest.
I have fist breasts, or breast fists.
Breast fists.
I'm breastfisting.
Too much fisting this week.
Oh my goodness.
Fisting everywhere.
Fisticuffs. What cup size are you? Fisting. I'm fisticuffs.
Speaking of fisting.
It's older Ryu.
So
but you
think of Mike Robo's also packing a pair of fucking hidden blades.
Oh, yeah. Freaking Assassin's Creed, this shit just shishank.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
This is what happens when we record at 1 o'clock.
Oh my god.
So he finishes off the monster with a sword tornado attack. And then,
don't question it.
Yeah. Blade NATO. And then we get down back to Ranger level and we get our first introduction to Deca Brake proper.
Oh, so cameraman in the background. Great job, man. First appearance. Cameraman. Yeah.
Honestly, I have to admit, for like Deca Brake and his abilities and stuff in his suit, like I really like his design. I love his fucking morph, or I'd love to have it. The Deca Booster? Deca Booster.
It's the...
Pretty sure it's the Deca Booster.
Throttle Excel, something like that?
Something like that.
I will admit, throughout all the Sentai seasons...
I'm gonna look it up, that's gonna bug me.
Yeah, with all the Sentai seasons that I have watched, it's the weakest morpher for me.
Yeah, I really don't like the morpher or the design of the suit.
Like,
that
I wouldn't mind if it was like a power up or something, or like his main weapon. But that's it. That's all he gets.
Well, he does use it as a weapon.
Yeah, but it's like
powers him up.
The best example is like the Geki Chopper morpher.
Oh, I
like,
love
it's
the
a morpher.
Oh, yeah. The side blade.
It's also a weapon.
That was one of my
favorites. Here, it's like a dinky little thing that's like on your wrist.
Okay. I like it personally.
You like Forze and Tokyo?
Well, no, I like that he has like a throttle on and he goes like power himself up. I like that. I like when you have like lots of interaction with your morph. That's why I like the morph embrace from GoBuster so much, because there's so much
wait a minute, function wait, with wait, it. Okay, one more Deca Base joke. when the building's going up, Lane.
What?
Oh!
Ah! Screaming Mouse video, check it out.
I looked it up. The name of his morpher is the Brace Throttle.
Oh, Brace Throttle, okay.
But, yeah, with regards to Deca Brake's design, the only thing I really like about the suit is the flare on the back of the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that design choice, but aside from that, I'm not a huge fan of the suit or the morpher.
All right.
Eh.
It fits in with the rest of the Deca Ranger outfits.
It does, but I was never a fan of the Deca Ranger suits to begin with.
Well, there you go.
The helmets just look too angry.
but you
too
said
angry.
But you said in one of the episodes it looks like they're all smiling.
Yeah, like the eyes on the visors on the helmet look angry, but then if you look at the gray parts where their mouths are, if you imagine those are like their mouths, they all look like they're smiling.
Oh, hi everybody.
Oh my goodness. I'm not mad! Not at all! So, Deca Brake does a bunch of different techniques. Kosoku Ken, where he clocks up his fists and goes, oh, no, 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 no!
And catches bullets.
It's actually funny, because in Power Rangers, they took that exact same shot, but instead of bullets, it's laser pointers.
Sure.
No, they literally colored over the bullets to make them look
and
like blasters.
And then he does Dengeki Ken, where he punches the ground and somehow electricity travels through rock to attack them.
Genius. It's a Sentai. Logic doesn't exist yet.
Genius.
And basically, the episode ends with Deca Brake saying to the other Deca Rangers, you guys suck, fuck off, and stay out of my way, or you're fired.
Hashtag Ooh. I'm six Ranger dick. No, because it was ideal all along.
Yep.
So, episode 23 is basically dedicated to them learning to play nice.
Deca Brake dancing.
Deca Brake dancing happened.
Yeah, basically, Deca Brake shows up on. I don't know what the fuck he was riding. It's like a unicycle plus
a fucking unicycle bike.
The machine boxer. It's this fucking retarded design.
Hey.
And it's got this tiny little kickstand legs.
When we were watching that, Gar was like, wait for it. Everyone's like, what? And I'm just like, ooh. Is the motorcycle going to go up a ramp into the larger mech motorcycle?
That would have been cool.
Wait till Go Busters.
No,
that did happen, remember, with Cheetah Nick?
Yeah,
fuck that, I'll just watch Mazinger.
does he do that in Mazinger?
Yeah.
Not Koji, but there is one.
Oh, cool. Groovy. Oh, yeah, I've been bringing Groovy back.
Please don't.
Please?
No.
Pray, please?
No.
Pray, please? Cherry on top?
I'm going to quote Deca Brake. Do it and you're fired.
All right. Fired from what?
This house.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair point.
So in this episode, we get this really creepy shot of Succubus basically wiping out the souls of an entire group of people in an instant. That was interesting. The fact that she could do that, but of course doesn't do it to the Deca Rangers.
Because...
protective suits.
Yeah.
Because, sure, let's go with that.
Because we're main pro tags.
It's about as good of an excuse as we're gonna get.
And at one point we see Blitz use a technique called Grateful Dead Thunder.
Which is basically alchemy.
Lightning! And he almost kills his sister.
No, he does kill his sister, doesn't he?
Well,
no, she got back up afterwards.
She apparently forgave him, got back up, and then sacrificed herself to revive him after he was shot down.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah. No one ever accused these characters of being well written.
No.
You gotta write good villains even if they are gonna only be for 3 episodes.
So basically the idea is Deca Brake fights very calculated, without emotion, and everyone else yells in his face until he stops doing that.
So Hero from X-Aid.
Except he changes.
Which would explain why I don't like him.
Except Tetsu actually changes.
He does change.
Yeah, Tetsu does change.
Also,
he says his catchphrase this episode.
Nonsense.
Nonsense. You could make a drinking game, a Deca Ranger, on whenever either A, the narrator speaks, when somebody says their catchphrase, or whenever they do the morphing sequence.
Yeah, but he actually did say it at the end of the previous episode, but yeah, it's here too.
Just the Deca Ranger drinking game. Let's do it, everybody.
I just love when they're fighting, when they're, like, doing their, like, Hisatsu attacks against the monster. It's like, Deckerbreak does his Seiken XL Blow Ogi, and then Decker Red does like his blast with the combined magnum, and while he's doing that blast, the other four Decker Rangers are just standing there saluting, being fucking useless.
Very useless!
Well.
But yeah, they defeat the other Hell sibling, but then he grows because of
he
the
system. No, he doesn't grow. He gets revived and then
right.
goes back into fucking God Pounder.
Right.
Because I guess we left that thing alone.
Oh yeah, well we did.
They didn't beat it.
They didn't beat it. Just magically vanished like Godzilla last week.
It wailed on them and then bailed on them.
The bad guys fucking left like they always do.
Oh,
shit. Oh, fuck finishing off the heroes. Let's go off and do the other things.
All right.
But then we saw the most funniest thing ever.
So, Dick and Brick's Zord is a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So, what is the first thought that pops into the other Decker Ranger's head when it tries to speed off without them?
The
Let's fuck it!
Jumps on.
Mount the bitch!
Don't. Oh, God.
And it's actually referred to as Riding Decker Ranger Robo.
Yeah.
Technically not a combination, but.
Give it another episode.
Yeah, I imagine.
We actually see them combined together.
And I just love that one shot where the God Pounder's like running around spinning and shooting lasers indiscriminately.
Yeah.
Herpeter.
And then it sets up a trap where it like arranges a bunch of crushed buildings in a perfect circle, leaving a nice hole for it to shoot through.
Yep. Genius.
That took effort. That took calculated effort.
Yep.
In the short amount of time they had. So, whatever, they kill the monster, and
then Tetsu has to stay on Earth.
He decides to stay because he's got a boner for Swan. Oh, no, I mean, just in case any more powerful monsters appear.
Because
we have no faith in the rest of you, including the fucking boss of the organization of that branch.
You want to know the funniest part, though? Spoilers, at the end of the series, he finally gets approved to stay on Earth.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He officially moves.
Wait,
to
does that mean the whole series he's an illegal alien?
Yes.
Oh shit.
Don't tell Trump.
This isn't America, it's Japan.
Oh, here it is. That's what they look like combined.
Oh, okay.
Oh boy.
That looks cool.
That's what they look like combined. Yeah.
So,
but that was the Decker-Break introduction. What did you guys think of it?
I liked it.
It was alright.
It added some much-needed context to that episode from last year, you piece of shit.
alright, yes. Last year, for the second week, I jumped around throughout the series and where Decker-Break just magically shows up. On the other hand, I knew we were going to do a sequel to December from last year, so that's why I did it this year.
Alright then.
Alright.
So, that has been another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. As always, make sure you check out the rest of our crazy hijinks at castranger.podbean.com. Check out our Facebook group, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and please take a gander at our Patreon. Help us make the show better for you.
Lane, do you have anything to say?
I will not be here next week because I'll be in Cuba. So, Christmas vacation.
You bitch.
Alright.
We might Skype you in, depending on what you're doing.
But if I don't make it to the episode, I'm sad, because I don't like missing episodes ever.
Sadcaster, Lytra.
Especially...
No, don't make another form for me, I have too many!
comments for Pinkcaster.
Comments for Lane, please.
In which... Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
We're all sitting in this room.
Why the fuck
are
you all still listening? Go home.
Go on then.
What if they're already home?
It's time to stop!
Wait, what did you say, Raven?
What if they're already home?
Then
leave.
Then turn off the YouTube app, go into your Google Chrome, and start masturbating to the porn that you paused.
Crunchman, I'm looking at you right now. You better stop this fucking episode. I love you. We'll play Halo 4 again soon. I play Halo 4 with no crunch. It's fucking awesome.
No, it's funny how Ichi like is the only one that actually laughed at that joke that I made.
Because it was bad.
Oh.
Ichi only laughs at bad jokes.
Now we're just rambling. Good day, everybody.
Good night, fuck!